Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
No, and then you use like frosting or something, and then you that's how you construct it. And then you get like candies, different kind of candies, and then you decorate around there. And like, you know, the frosting not only provides like the glue for the house, but then you also can make snow around it. So you build like a whole little, yeah, it's fun. It's cool. Yeah. My wife bought them the other day. So we're going to start to create and decorate those. That's how we're going to make little Christmas here in 2020. Anyway, let's go. Are you ready? I am very excited. So let's get going. Take that last bite of your submarine sandwich. What happens if we ever decide to change the time on this? It's going to be, if we do this either earlier or later in the day, then what are you going to do? I mean, I don't know if I'll be able to perform without seeing you munching on your submarine sandwich. It's almost a part of the entire ambiance and atmosphere of the podcast recording process. We cannot lose this time slot to record. Anyway, I'm looking at the board here. I like where those needles are bouncing. So keep them there. I will give you the three S's. I will give you the countdown. You give me the music. I will give you the podcast. And we will give our listeners some fun entertainment. That sounds like a plan. You ready? Here we go. Star, smile, strong. All right, here we go. Ready? Three. And watch your fingers this time. You had a hot finger last time. You were jumping the gun on that music. I don't mind it a little bleeding into my final line, but let me at least get it out. Everybody wants to get in the game, right? Okay, here we go. Three, two, one. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find and download your favorite podcasts. Imagine that. We're there too. We should be. We're your favorite podcast, aren't we? Well, if that's true, first of all, thank you very much. Secondly, go out and tell the world. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell whoever you know who listens to podcasts that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Send them a link. Send them a message. Send them some information as to just how fun, how informative, and how cool this 1 hour a week is and what it adds to your podcasting pleasure and your life in general. How's that for over-exaggeration? Your loyalty, devotion, and your extra credit effort is always appreciated. If you like what you hear, don't forget, you go to WGNradio.com, you go to the podcast section, go to the prompt for this podcast, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and there you will find all previous 237 previous episodes back in the vaults, which can only mean one thing. Welcome to episode 238. Several months. Whoa, there you go. Once again. Okay. Reggie, you gotta watch that. For some reason, it's looping. So from now on, once that music ends, you got to kill that, all right? Just letting the listeners hear how we make the sausage here. I could see you're embarrassed. I could see your face is red. I understand that. But, you know, we have to try. You know, this is a podcast. We have to try at least to be at least 90% professional, right? Professional would mean pay. So really, we don't need to be professional at all. Because there's no transfers of funds here in any way. None from the listener to me, none from the to me. There's no cash trading hands. This is pure for the love of it, hopefully on both sides of the mic. Certainly a love on this side of the mic, and hopefully on that side for the listeners as well. So this is, so we don't really need to be technically professional, but I would like to at least have some semblance of professionalism as part of the podcast to make it sound official at least. So yeah, let's remember that now, that for some reason that music bed is looping as soon as it ends. So put your submarine sandwich down, you know, listen, and then, you know, hit pause or hit stop, because it's not just going to stop on its own. Okay. Anyway, so several months ago, I was talking when we were in the midst we are still in the midst. What am I talking about? Of the COVID crisis here. We're actually deeper than we were before. And I was talking about, you know, at that time, how are we occupying our time, especially in the initial days, the real serious shutdown, lockdown, shelter in place, even though those restrictions seem to be close to returning, even though we're also close to a vaccine, hopefully. But back then it was like, okay, so how do you know, we had all this time on our hands suddenly. And I was mentioning how television was, as it always has been for me, a very comforting and reliable companion in times of distress or free time or boredom or just because I love television. Grew up with television as a little kid. No, I was not one of these kids that television when you was used as a babysitter. I would not say that. My mom was a stay-at-home mom up until I was about 7 or 8 years old when I went into grammar school. So my mom was always around, and we certainly did a lot of activities. We had play dates before they had a name. It was just going and play with a friend. And yeah, there was a time set, but now, you know, in the last 20 years, everything has to have an official title. It has to sound important. So there's play dates and there's all these different things. Basically, you know, 45 years or so ago, for the most part, child rearing was about the same, the basics. Punishment has changed a little bit, obviously. Not as many belts and hangers used today as there were back then. Or at least the threat of those. The threat of being sent to an orphanage, I don't think, is a part of the parenting handbook anymore. Or being sent to a reform school, an orphanage, or a military school. That was always the threat. At least it was in my house. Yeah, there was a few differences in parenting parenting skills and or guidelines, but for the most part, the learning, the teaching, the bonding, the occupying your time, those things, they just have different terms, but they were pretty much the same. But my mom did not use the television as a babysitter. We did a lot of things. We were always out and about, but I still loved television, and I didn't view it as as something that was being used to either distract me or occupy me. I sought it out, and so that's why I've got this brain filled with a lot of, to some people, useless knowledge, to other people's impressive knowledge. It depends on where you come from. If you're a pop culture fan, I think you're impressed. If you're not, you go, well, that was a waste of a lifetime. But no, so I love television, always have. I don't apologize for spending the day sometimes not even going out and rarely leaving the couch or the comfy chair and staying in all day. And now, ironically, the rest of the world over the last several years has caught up to me. Now, once again, I've been doing what everybody is doing now, binge watching. Once again, it has a title. But I've been binge watching for my entire life. Either one program, they used to be called marathons, now they're binges, they don't call them marathons anymore. The terms have changed, the behaviors have not. And that goes for not just in the last 50 years, but in the last, I don't know, 2000. The human animal has behaviorally has not changed very much, sadly. We are what we are. We try to change. We try to think of ourselves as having dominion over the animals, but we are just one of them. Highly, more evolved, certainly. I'll give us that much. But then when you see what we do, I don't know how evolved we are. We have the ability to be higher evolved than the animals. A lot of times we don't act that way. But yeah, so I've been binge watching long before it was a thing. For years, for decades, for most of my life, whether it was sitting in front of the TV on a Saturday morning and watching all the Saturday morning cartoons from 7 in the morning until noon, right? Was that binge watching? I guess today it would count, right? If you're 5 hours in front of the television, I guess that's considered binge watching. Then I've been doing that since I was about 4. I would get up and watch all the Saturday morning cartoons in the 70s. You know, Archie, Scooby-Doo, Hong Kong Phooey. You name it. Harlem Globetrotters, Wacky Racers, Dastardly and Muttley and their flying machines, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Groovy Ghoulies, Flintstones, you name it. So, The Oddball Couple, which was a takeoff on The Odd Couple with Spiffy and Fleabag. Yeah, once again, I have a very good memory for these things. They're burned into my a lot of grooves in my brain. Let's put it that way. From pop culture and television viewing. So I've been binge watching for most of my life. And as I was saying earlier in a podcast earlier this year, I found myself in these days of uncertainty to go when I'm watching going to television as some kind of haven or refuge. During those early days of the pandemic, I found myself going back to some of the old standbys, some of those old what I called comfort food television shows. Even though I've seen them thousands of times, I would even say tens of thousands of times, probably in my lifetime. Talking about some of the shows, especially like Andy Griffith or the Honeymooners, I've seen those probably tens of thousands of times. And I found myself going back to those, even though I know all the dialogue, I know from the first 5 seconds, I could tell you what episode it's going to be. But there was some comforting aspect to those, just like it is having a nice warm bowl of soup or a nice warm bowl of chili or some mashed potatoes or whatever you considered a comfort food. They seem to all be warm, right? they all exude some warmness, a warm fuzzy, figuratively, or a sense of a feeling of warmth, literally, from being heated or warmed up. Mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, fried chicken, chili, a nice good thick soup. It's got to be thick. I'm not a big broth soup guy. I like some of the broths, but I like a thicker soup. Yes, chicken soup is an old standby, I get it, and it can be good at times, but it is a little weak. I always have to put a lot of pepper in my chicken soup. The pale broth doesn't always cut it for me, but I like a thicker soup. I like a nice thick clam chowder. Oh, God, is that good? While I do like a French onion soup, I only like it mostly, even though that's a broth kind of soup, but I do like it because of that thick melted cheese on the top. Now, that's comfort food. But yeah, I like a nice cream of chicken soup. There's some of those Greek diner type restaurants where you can get like a Monte Cristo sandwich or a BLT, and they will have the soup of the day, and it's usually a very thick, creamy soup, like a cream of broccoli or a cream of chicken or a chicken and rice. Oh, creamy though. Oh boy. That's comfort. But so is Andy Griffith. So is Seinfeld. I'm trying to think of some of the comfort TV shows. The Honeymooners, I've been watching a lot of. What else have I been taping? I've been taping Dragnet. It's on MeTV at 4:30 in the morning, but it doesn't stop me. I've been taping Dragnets at 4:30 in the morning. Sometimes I'm even up at 4:30 watching Dragnets. That, I guess, would be counted as a comfort TV show. But what I have found now, and I'm happy to say, I was going back to my comfort shows because I wasn't finding anything new that was exciting or worth getting involved in or binging on. And then, of course, because of the pandemic, a lot of the shows weren't on. They weren't filming, or they didn't get a chance to finish filming. One of the shows that my wife and I do watch on a regular basis, The Blacklist, with James Spader, they had their season. They couldn't finish filming their season. They didn't get to film the last two episodes. They didn't even finish one episode. To finish the end of last season, they wound up having whatever footage they did film in live action and then augmenting it with animation. It was very weird. It was a yeoman's effort. But I don't think the execution didn't work. It was very distracting, and it was a way to finish the season and finish an unfinished episode. But it really was not that exciting. So there weren't a lot of shows in the last several months. But I have to say, and that's what I want to share with you on today's podcast. We are now coming back indoors. The summer is over. People were getting outside. Many times breaking the COVID rules, but whatever. But now, in most of the country, the weather is cooler or cold or downright freezing. And so we are heading back indoors. And that is one reason why, if you are breaking some of the COVID rules, the COVID numbers are going crazy. But we are back into our winter hibernation. It is December. And it is only going to get colder before it gets warmer by February or March. So get ready, get hunkered. We already get hunkered down. I don't know why hunkering down is any different, but psychologically, I guess it is. You know, the funny thing is, without the pandemic, many people did not socialize all that much and did stay hunkered down in their homes for on the weekends and things like that. Not because they were told to, but just because out of necessity of the weather, and that's just the way winter was. We all hibernated. But now that we're told that we need to hibernate and hunker down, now we don't want to. Oh, the human animal. For as much logic as our brain is capable of, we use so little of that logic. But anyway, so I have been pleasantly surprised that as a major TV fan for most of my life, I've been a little discouraged over the last several years of some of the TV shows that have either just been outright bad or have failed to meet the expectations of their hype, and that's always been a sort of a whatever. I have to say, over the last several months, there have been quite a few excellent shows that I and my wife and I have been binging on and looking forward to. Some have been on streaming services that where they dump the entire seasons there and we've been watching at our convenience and leisure. Others on some streaming services and cable networks are still adhering to those old rules. Remember when a show was on once a week and you had to wait for the next week? That almost sounds archaic at this point, but there are some shows that still are released that way. Most network shows still are, and even some cable shows, and even some streaming shows. Netflix dumps them all at one time and says, hey, we are a on-demand culture now, so here they all are. You can watch them in one day. You can watch them in 2 days. You can watch them in 2 months. It's up to you. Others are still adhering to those days of the TV guide where there was a time and a date for a new episode and you waited a week for it to come. And I have to say, it's getting strange to have to wait now. But at the same time, it's also a nice surprise. It's nice. It's a nice way to break up your week. To say, oh, it's Tuesday, so-and-so is on. Oh, it's Sunday, so-and-so is on. We have to wait till 8 o'clock to wait, you know, to watch it, or 7 o'clock, or whatever time. But that's the way we used to watch television, folks, believe it or not. So right now, we're in a very interesting transition of how we watch television shows. But I have to say, and I'd like to share some of these with you today, because, once again, to provide you with some entertainment and some distraction. So maybe you will discover these shows if you haven't found them yet or if you haven't watched them yet, that will keep you inside and keep you safe. So it's kind of a double-edged or a twofold kind of motivation here. One, to just share with you some really good shows I think you should watch, and two, to share with you some ideas of how to occupy your time rather than going out and doing some unsafe behavior. How's that? But it's more of the first one. You know, we always love to talk about a great movie we saw. We love to talk about a great book that we've read. And we love to share a great television show that we have found. And these days, word of mouth is probably one of the best ways or most reliable ways. There's so many shows out there. There are so many streaming services. Everybody is competing. There is so much content out there. If you are not diligent, you will miss some good things. And it's hard to be diligent. Even someone like me that really pays attention to this stuff, I can't. I'm finding things that I miss that I go back and find. This is a word. We're also a word of mouth society. There isn't that nice, reliable TV guide. I mentioned that before. Some people might not even know what a TV guide is. I think TV guide does exist now, but it's certainly hard to find and not as popular or a must have in every home as it used to be. I don't even know if it even exists. It used to exist in a small little digest size, come out every week, and people would subscribe to it, to the TV guide. It would be it would be prominently displayed at your grocery store checkout line. The TV guide was always there. Now I think it's a full size kind of magazine, and I don't even know if it has to include the listings, I would assume, but I haven't seen a TV guide, the official TV guide, in years, in decades, probably. A Seinfeld episode, a famous funny Seinfeld episode, was based upon that, where George Costanza's father collected the TV guides all the way back to their beginnings from the 50s when TV started and people needed a guide to watch television, know when things were on. We didn't have this device in our hands or in our home called a computer where you can check it yourself, or a computer guide on your television. Even an on-screen television guide is only about 25 years old. There was a time when you needed to have this printed magazine or booklet. And back in the days when people would subscribe to a newspaper, remember those? I mean, you got the Sunday newspaper, not only for the interesting reading and news, but also for the coupons, the pounds of coupons that were in the Sunday papers, but also the TV guide. The local TV guide was in your newspaper. So the TV Guide magazine was a national publication, but you also got the one in your local newspapers to tell you what's on locally as well. Oh, we had many TV guides, many sources, but they were all printed. But they were always on your coffee table, and it was required reading. I would go through the TV guide every Sunday, first with a pen, and then when I learned what a highlighter was, I would go through my TV guide and highlight what I wanted to watch during the week on Sunday, and then I would just, every day, I would look for my highlights. Oh, yes. It was a very scary... little scary 9-year-old kid. No surprise what I've grown up to be. But yeah, so the TV guide. And that was a funny episode on Seinfeld because of not only did Mr. Costanza collect them all, but of course then there was a stalker involved who followed Elaine based on the TV guide. Look, you can watch Lucy like 7 times. There's I Love Lucy. Here's Lucy, the Lucy Show. Lucy! that actor, in fact, that played that guy that was Elaine Stalker, he died, I think, this year or early or sometime last year. Young guy in his mid-50s. Anyway, so yeah, it's today's TV guide is the internet and links and word of mouth. We have very few things on paper these days. I still like to print things up on a printer. I still like to have hard copies of things. But I know most people today are completely digital and completely virtual. And that's fine. But I like to write my lists on paper because I like to scratch them out on paper. I like to physically write things down because when I write them down with my hand, I don't know if this is some kind of... psychological or brain related thing, but when I write them down, I see that and it stays in my memory longer when I write something down than when I look at it on a screen. I always had good comprehension, even when I was a young kid and we used to take those standardized tests. I always, tested off the charts on reading comprehension. So I've always had a very good memory, which is the reason why I remember all these TV shows and all the dialogues and all the plots and all the lyrics to songs and ridiculous trivia. I don't know if that was something that my mom helped instill in me from a young age because she was always reading to me. We were always talking, and so things were just always staying in my brain. Always looking for, seeking out, and taking in new information, and thankfully it stayed in there. So I want to share some information and some fun things with you today that I think, first of all, I'm very impressed that there are some television shows that are worth watching. There were several that were highly hyped, which did not really cut the mustard. I was really looking forward to this one called Ratched with Sarah Paulson from the TV impresario these days, Ryan Murphy. Who does American Horror Stories, and Sarah Paulson stars in a lot of his shows, about Nurse Ratched, the character from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It was kind of a backstory about her. We only saw her in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest as the character in that moment, dealing with R.P. McMurphy and all of the patients in the mental hospital during the film. So this was a backstory kind of prequel to that, but it didn't fly. It was not good. I tried it. It just didn't work. And so I was getting kind of bummed. I was like, you know, I think in this quest for content, because now content is not only king, it's king, queen, prince, princess. Content is the entire royal family now. It's not just king, because with so many streaming services and pay services and on-demand services and online services, these places need compelling content to draw you in, especially if they are a subscriber service. They want you to subscribe, and so they are trying their best, and they are lifting up every rock, and they are going back in every vault to say what was popular back then, and can we replay it or remake it or reboot it? Or tell a former story, a backstory. That's a new big thing now. So, but as what happens then when there is this ravenous hunger for content, a lot of bad content gets made that in a normal situation would never even get past the listening or pitch stage. But because they need content to fill their platforms or fill their hours of programming, there's a lot of programs that are undeserving that are getting greenlit, which are getting made and which are getting offered out here to us, and they just don't cut it. They never should have been made. And in another time and place, they never would have, when there was only a select few outlets for entertainment and presumably only the best things made it out. Now, that's not always true, but in theory, at least, it was true. But now the landscape is wide open, and so there's a lot of stuff that is niche at best, that is a one-trick pony that is getting made. And it comes and goes, deservedly so, too. I mean, you know, it gets made, but it also disappears just as quickly. But I'm happy to say that I have found several things with all these new programs, all these new content providers, throwing anything up the wall, against the wall, seeing what will stick. I'm happy to say that I have found several new shows, current shows that are out there, that they've been thrown up on the wall and they are sticking. I'm going back to them. I'm enjoying them. I'm binging on them. So I'd like to share them with you. Maybe some of these you've seen. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've heard of them and you're wondering whether you should get into them. Does it merit the time investment to get into it, or is it just a lot of hype? Or maybe you haven't heard about them at all, and you go, wow, that sounds cool. Let me try that. So let me start with one that I was looking forward to, and it really delivered. And a lot of these shows, sadly, you know, once again, they're being, you know, before a TV show on network television, you know, don't forget, it would start in September and end in May, take a little break around the holiday season. But for the most part, you would have over 20 new episodes a season, whether it was a comedy or a drama, from September through December and then January through April or May. You had 20, at least 22, 23 episodes. In the 60s, when I was binging on my Andy Griffiths, I went online just to see how many episodes there were of Andy Griffith. Some seasons, Andy Griffith had almost 30 episodes. That's outrageous. I think there's like 240 episodes of the Andy Griffith Show. It was on for 8 seasons. You know, so think about that. 8 into 240, that's 30 episodes a year right there. Hey, I'm not even a math whiz, and I just did that. Do you hear that? 8 times 30, 240. It works out perfect. Nowadays, most shows are between, you know, 6, 8, or 12 episodes. That started about 20 years ago or so with some of the early groundbreaking cable shows like The Sopranos and The Gary Shandling Show. And things like that, and Curb Your Enthusiasm. A lot of the HBO shows, they only had about 12 episodes, or 10, or 8. And now sometimes there's even only 4. We just watched a series, and if you can watch it, it was kind of interesting. It's on my list as well, but I'll just talk about it now. Only 4 episodes on PBS called Roadkill with Hugh Laurie, who was, you know, on the CBS show House for many years. 4 episodes. It was on Masterpiece. The same thing on PBS, which you know, shows Downton Abbey, which was also, you know, limited series. A lot of that came from the fact that a lot of British shows were imported to the United States. And a lot of British shows only had short runs, like the original Office with Ricky Gervais. 12 episodes total in the entire run, 2 seasons, 6 episodes a season. So once again, you know, we you know, since the beginning of television, I guess, but certainly in the 80s, it really became more pronounced. The the attention span of TV watchers began to decrease, and things were delivered in shorter bites. You know, you can't discredit or discount the impact that MTV had in the 80s. Not only did it bring music and change music, but it also changed our viewing habits and the way we were used to watching our entertainment on television. Videos, music videos, for the most part, were between, you know, 4 or 5 minutes long. And then the next one started. And by watching MTV and getting those little snippets, those little bites of entertainment, all different, our attention spans from, we would watch, you know, 2 hour shows, 2 hour movies, to 1 hour dramas, to half hour comedies and shows, was suddenly shrinking down to 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. And our attention span these days certainly is much, much shorter than it was, say, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And so that's the thought process there. Not only do some of these shows cost a lot of money to make, but people are, you know, but producers are like, you know what? We need to get in and get out. 10 episodes, that's 10 hours. You know, 12 episodes sometimes, 8 episodes. That's enough. People aren't going to be invested in something, in one thing for that long. That's the thought process. I tend to disagree with that. If there's something that's great, I'll be invested for 50 years like I am in the Andy Griffith Show or the Honeymooners. And there's same episodes. There's not any new ones of those. So I don't necessarily subscribe to that, but that's kind of the thought process. But this one was shown and is shown. It's available, I would assume, still on HBO. And if you have HBO Max, it's called The Undoing. And it stars Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant. And I'll tell you, they had me hooked. It was, I think, only 6 episodes. But they had me hooked from the first one. Also, Donald Sutherland plays a good role in that, too. So some very good acting and a really compelling story. I won't get into the specifics on any of these because I'd like you to watch them. So I don't want to be a spoiler alert. I don't mind a spoiler alert on a show that's been on for 2 or 3 years or 10 years or 40 years. You know, if you haven't seen The Godfather, I'm talking about the ending. I think 40 years is enough of a grace period that you can't even use the term spoiler alert for any show that's over 20 years in my mind. So I won't get into the specifics on any of these, but I will try to give you enough to at least tease you or entice you to watch these. So if you have HBO or you have HBO Max, check out The Undoing. Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant, Donald Sutherland. Kind of a throwback to the days of Dallas and Dynasty, in that it centers on a ridiculously privileged and rich family. And it just goes to show you that having all the money in the world doesn't really buy you contentment and happiness and a life without any drama or tragedy. In fact, it may even add to it. It's a murder mystery. That's all I'll tell you. But it does a very good job of revealing the information in small bits that keeps your interest. It also does a good job of casting doubt on many different characters throughout. So you try to figure out who did this and why did they do this. And they do a nice job of casting some potential guilt and some doubt on everyone. There was a major wow moment toward the end of it. And as I said, it's really hinged on this interesting environment that it takes place with a privileged family, that they have the money to potentially get themselves out of this situation. And of course, you've got the suspicious police detectives, and you've got a lot of people with potential opportunities and motives. So it's not as clean or clear-cut as it seems. And I have to say, I was never a huge fan of Hugh Grant. You know, he made so many of those romantic comedies in the 90s, and he was, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, you know, Four Weddings and a Funeral and all the rest. And, you know, he has just has that, you know, he's had that kind of, you know, jaunty, devil-may-care kind of attitude. And it was, I think he played it a little too much. Made him a lot of money, got him a lot of notoriety. But then I think we got a little tired of that. Well, he comes back in this very anti-Hugh Grant, playing against his type. And that made him, and he actually proved to me that he's got some acting chops. And so, yeah, he is excellent. And Nicole Kidman continues to impress. I have to say, she's a beautiful woman. And initially, you know, you looked at her like, okay, she's just really, you know, pretty eye candy. And a lot of her early movies were kind of like that. But as she has progressed as an actress, she has really gotten very good. And she looks amazing. I'm sure she's had some plastic surgery because her face looks almost porcelain-like. And she almost looks younger now than she did when she started, you know, 30 or 40 years ago. But I have to say that she does a great job in this. And once again, one of the great stalwarts, Donald Sutherland, provides a little gravitas for this story as well. It's called The Undoing on HBO. Only 6 episodes, so it's not going to take up a lot of time, but it will keep you interested, enticed, and keep you guessing. And it does have a payoff. So it's not going to be one of these endings like on The Sopranos. It has a payoff. There has been some talk, actually, because it was so popular and the characters were so intriguing, that there might be a second season of it. Now, this Undoing was based on a book, and so all the action takes place of what happens in the book. So if it has to take over, if there's a second season, it would have to be a new work. But those, we'll see. There's been some talk of it just because Nicole Kidman was in Big Little Lies, which was also kind of self-contained miniseries on HBO, and then it had a second season. Probably shouldn't have had, to be honest with you. That's when you get, you know, everybody's, We like something so much, we want more of it. And sometimes it's just best to say, you know what, it was good and let it sit. You know, sometimes you have a great meal and it's so good you say, well, I can't wait to come back to this place, at this restaurant, and have this meal again. And you think about it and you have great anticipation about it. And then you go back to that restaurant and you order that same thing that you had such a great meal with, and it's just not the same. You should have just let it be and enjoyed and appreciated that one meal rather than trying to recreate the experience. Sometimes you just can't. And I think with The Undoing, it was a great short go in, grab you, and go out. And as much as the characters and the circumstances were interesting, I don't know. It would have to be completely different. And I don't know if you can put this family in another kind of crazy situation, which you'd have to do. Or at least, I guess, the sequel to this would have to be them dealing with what just happened to them. I'm hoping they don't. Watch The Undoing, appreciate it for what it is, and we can find some other things. The Undoing, Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant and Donald Sutherland. A show that I'm in the midst of watching right now. In fact, I believe it's going to end next week, but this is on HBO Max as well, is a show I'm surprised that I'm liking, but I'm hooked. It's called The Flight Attendant. It's with Kaylee Cuoco. I don't even know how to say her name. I've been watching it for 10 years on Big Bang Theory. Never really heard her last name said. I know her name is Kaylee, and I know what she looks like. My gosh, she's on the internet all the time. She's really a an attention hog, no question about that. She played a fun part on Big Bang as Leonard's girlfriend and later wife and kind of the love interest. That character grew, and she was good for what she needed to do on that show. I thought she was good. She played a very good role. I enjoyed Big Bang. Watched it almost from this beginning up until its end. And she was a major part of that. She had some great moments, great one-liners. She delivered them well. She knew her character. She was her character. Which then surprised me that she would be in a drama and another murder mystery whodunit. These are mostly the things that catch our interest, right? And once again, this is based on a self-contained story. I believe it's only 8 episodes on HBO Max. It started a few weeks ago. It still hasn't finished. I think there's 2 more weeks of it, and then it will be done. So it's only 8 episodes. But now this was an interesting release schedule. They dumped 3 episodes initially. Then the next 2 weeks, they dumped 2 episodes, and then the final week will be 1 episode. I don't know how. So not only, Netflix gives you all of them at one time. Some go week by week. This one was somewhere in the middle. They released the first 3 episodes to sort of get you hooked, and then the next couple of weeks, 2, and then 1. But I'm hooked. I'm the flight attendant. Kaylee, you got me. She does a really good job. She plays a flighty, no pun intended, character in this, kind of similar to her character on Big Bang. But then there are really moments of real drama, and she rises to the occasion. A very good supporting cast, a very intriguing story with a lot of twists and turns, some flashbacks, some dream sequences, a lot of mixed media here going on. So it always keeps things moving. And it's an interesting murder mystery. And once again, as the show has continued on with the episodes, the story gets more and more involved, and you're given just enough new information to keep you scratching your head and wondering what's really going on. It's called The Flight Attendant. It's on HBO Max. It's still in progress. You can go back and watch previous episodes, and you can watch the finale, which I believe is on December 17th. So you can catch up on that and binge a little and then watch the finale. So that's not bad. The Flight Attendant on HBO Max. I'm digging that. One on Netflix, The Queen's Gambit. Now, this one, I never thought I would like this one. It's not a lot of big stars in this at all. The lead is a very pretty and very good actress, Anya Taylor-Joy. She plays a female chess prodigy in the 60s. This is fictional. It's not real, but a very compelling, limited series. You'd never think that chess was interesting. There have been a lot of chess movies, Finding Bobby Fischer. There's been some shows based on chess. This one was so compelling and so interesting that by the end of it, my wife was saying, we should take up chess. Now, as a young kid in the 70s, chess became very popular with Bobby Fischer, and I remember learning chess, but chess is a very, very complicated game. I learned how to play. I learned the moves of what each piece is able to do, but as I got older, I realized that, my gosh, there's a whole world of chess here, and there's certain defenses and moves and queen to pawn eight and all these different, I had no idea what was going on. So I sort of gave up on chess. But I was, in watching the Queen's Gambit, I got interested in chess again. We have a couple of chess sets. I've got a Don Quixote chess set. I like the idea of a chess set as a decoration, but I don't really play it that much. But who knows? Maybe, once again, another distraction here during COVID. Maybe we're going to take up chess. But at the very least, check out The Queen's Gambit on Netflix, because it tells a very interesting story about a female in a male-oriented world. And chess never seemed so interesting and so dramatic than it does here. And there's some interesting Cold War political undertones to this, because, of course, Russians are the masters at chess. You may remember in the 70s, Bobby Fischer played a guy named Boris Spassky, and it was almost like the Super Bowl. And it was this kind of Cold War, communism versus democracy. It rose to those levels with an American against a Russian. And there are those implications in this story as well as some interesting psychological and personal, kinds of twists and turns. The Queen's Gambit, I guarantee you, you will be hooked. I describe it as a girl chess player, and you go, what the heck am I going to do with that? It's a lot more than that. So check that one out on Netflix, The Queen's Gambit. Another one that I was interested in, it kept my interest because of the past. I have to say I was a little disappointed at the end, but it's worth mentioning if you want to watch it, because there were some compelling moments in it. The FX program Fargo, which has been on now for several years, is based loosely on the great film by the Coen brothers, Fargo. And each season now has been a different story, very dotted line connections to Fargo itself. It's kind of called Fargo in name only now, more for the atmosphere and the storytelling that it uses, rather than being based in Fargo like the original film was with the Coen brothers with William H. Macy. Now this one, and there've been a lot of, there are police investigations, there's a lot of murders and things like that. It seems murder is always the main driving force here. This one is interesting. It takes place in the 50s in Kansas City, and it talks about the emergence of the mobs, organized crime in the 50s in Kansas City. And what's interesting about this, it's the rise of an African-American mob. These are all based on true stories. They've changed things a little for dramatic effect, but it's true. In Kansas City, as much as Chicago is always thought about as being a organized crime haven because of Al Capone, in reality, Kansas City was one of the main bases for organized crime in the 50s and 60s and 70s and even 80s, when it really had its heydays. And so here we see the Italian mob fighting against the African-American mob. And Chris Rock plays one of the leader of the African-American mob, and he does an okay job. I'm not going to say it's great, because there's sometimes when you see him acting and there's sometimes when you see him trying to be way too dramatic. But there are some really interesting twists and turns and some great visual effects. Visual moments like The Godfather, some amazing deaths and murders that become very memorable. And so while it started out interesting, and there's some interesting little side stories as well, it became a little predictable and a little repetitive toward the end. But still, it was a period piece. They did a nice job of recreating the era. They did a nice job of injecting things like integration and civil rights and feminism into this very still segregated, paternal society in the 50s. And so there are some messages that do ring true today. And there's just some great mob murders. So if you want, check out Fargo on FX. I'm sure you can find it on some reruns. Another Netflix show that we've been watching now, the fourth season of The Crown, of the royal family. Another interesting episode. In the past, these have been very historical, going back, you know, 40, 50, 60 years at the beginning of Queen Elizabeth's reign. And so many of the situations and the events were new and interesting. And for, you know, we learned about them for the first time. This season takes place in the 70s and 80s and is filled with the drama of the Prince Charles and Lady Diana marriage. And so for the first time, it's in a relatively recent history where many of us can remember these events. And so that made it very interesting to see this take, this fictional, this quasi-fictional, quasi-historical take on events that we all do remember, like the marriage of the courtship and marriage of Charles and Diana, the marital problems they had. We learn more about how Camilla Parker Bowles played a major role in Charles's life before he met Diana and even after he married Diana. But really, what makes this season four of The Crown very compelling and worth watching is the introduction of Margaret Thatcher, the prime minister, in the 80s. Now, here in America, we knew Maggie Thatcher more as the Iron Lady, as she was known. And we learned about her more because she was a staunch ally of President Reagan during the 80s. And that's the way we knew her. But we learn a lot about Maggie Thatcher here. British people probably know way too much about Maggie Thatcher, but I think a lot of her personal story and even a lot of the problems that she was having in running the British government as prime minister during the 80s, we didn't really know that too much about. We were in the 80s, we were more consumed about ourselves. So it's what you really learn about here is you really get an insight into Maggie Thatcher and some of the problems and the controversies that surrounded her tenure as prime minister. And I must say, an amazing performance, probably going to win an Emmy Award. Let me just say that right now, by Gillian Anderson. She just knocks it out of the park. They did some makeup on her. She changed her voice. She changed her posture. She becomes Maggie Thatcher, and you believe her. And you forget that it's Gillian Anderson. And so kudos to Gillian Anderson for this season four, her performance in season four of The Crown on Netflix. And it really is just compelling. So between the Maggie Thatcher, portrayal and this Lady Di Princess Charles soap opera, it makes for a very compelling season. So check out The Crown on Netflix. There's a network show. Who would have thought, right? A network show on ABC called The Big Sky. Once again, a murder mystery. It's got a little Fargo-ish take on it. In fact, one of the lead characters was in Fargo. And you'll recognize him. I won't even tell you who it is. A big shocker, cliffhanger, in the first couple of episodes. The show right now is on winter hiatus, but maybe you can go back and find it. If not, when it comes back, probably in January or February, check it out. It's called Big Sky on ABC. Interesting murder, kidnapping, sex trafficking is the subtext for this. It's an underbelly of a small town and sort of the sordid things that go on underneath the veneer of a nice small town where nothing happens. Kind of a Twin Peaks-ish feel to it to some extent, but not as quirky. But some great acting, and wow, the first, I believe it was the first episode. What a head turner. Something happens. Wow. So check out on ABC Big Sky, a very cool show. And let's see. I think that's about the only one. Those are the ones that I'm really watching that I would really have to say, you know. Oh, no. What am I saying? There's one on it's right now. I forgot about it. So it's so soon. It just started. It's on Showtime as well. It's called Your Honor with Bryan Cranston. And I don't know where this is going. He plays a judge. His son gets into some trouble, and he's going to try to cover up for his son. That's all I know. This one is one of these that comes out every week, so you got to wait to see where it's going. I have no idea where it's going, but the first episode I've already seen, and I'm digging it. Bryan Cranston, always, always a great actor, and he's pulling it out here, no question about that. So definitely check that out, Your Honor on Showtime with Bryan Cranston. So those are some of the shows that right now you can either watch on a streaming service or watch as they're on or go back and binge and watch as they end. Once again, The Undoing on HBO Max, The Flight Attendant on HBO Max, Queen's Gambit on Netflix, Big Sky on ABC Network, Fargo on FX, and The Crown on Netflix. So those are some of the shows that I've been binging on and have really enjoyed and just want to pass on to you that if you're looking for something interesting to watch and get into, those are some shows. Sit back, get your favorite beverage, your favorite snack, whether it's some chips, whether it's, you know, some popcorn, whether I talked to you before, maybe some comfort food, some macaroni and cheese, or some thick, warm, nice winter soup, whatever it is. Check out these shows. Find that comfortable spot on your couch and binge away. Elton Jim's binge recommendations for a COVID winter. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Don't forget, every Monday a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com, or it's posted wherever you go to find and download your favorite podcasts. We are there. And don't forget, tell your friends, tell your family, send them a link, send them a message. Tell them that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and why the heck isn't it theirs? Your loyalty, your devotion, and your efforts are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode 238. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen. I never thought I'd like Hugh Grant.